this disease is so new that we really are still learning quite a bit about how it kills. There is a paper that was just done within the last year that finally figured out exactly how it kills. It basically causes an electrolyte imbalance in the frogs, which causes obviously a lot of problems with them. But this disease was found in 1999. It was first figured out that it was causing problems in 1999. So we've been trying as best as we can to learn more about it, but it's still there's still a lot of unknowns, unfortunately. This disease is very unusual because it's in a class of fungi that typically infect insects and plants, mm-hmm. and not vertebrates at all. Mm-hmm. And this is the first instance of it infecting vertebrates. So it's very, very unusual in that.
What's been the global consequence of this particular fungus at this point? How have the populations been changed as best we know?
So there have been a number of extinctions. I believe there's just under 100 species extinctions caused by this disease.
Okay.
About 42 of them are in Central America. Mm-hmm. Most of the other ones are in Australia, mm-hmm. Which has been having a lot of problems with this disease. It's now found almost globally. It's found in Africa, North and South America, Australia. For whatever reason, it hasn't been documented in Asia yet, but it's only a matter of time, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a global problem. And like I said, we're still learning a lot about this disease, and it's unfortunate that it seems its transmission is basically us. We are causing a big problem as far as transmitting or carrying this disease from one place to another.
You know, it has to do with the frog that actually kind of holds on to the disease without killing it?
In part. So the idea for this disease initially, how it kind of spread, is the trait of the African clawed frogs,
uh-huh.
which are excellent carriers of the disease. They do not exhibit symptoms at all,
uh-huh.
And they're a very popular pet as well as a lab animal. Virtually any experiments done on a frog are done on the African clawed frogs. So it is spread globally with those frogs. But it also is, what we think, is spread by people because we're a global society now. I go to Central America several times a year, it seems. And if I'm not diligent, I can walk around here in Michigan where there is chytrid, unfortunately. And if I don't clean my shoes, if I don't clean my equipment that I'm using, I can carry spores of this fungus down to Central America to uninfected areas and further infect them.
So, inevitably, you know, I get mud on my shoes from when I've been there and I've gone down there, you know,
yep.
Who knows?
Yep, exactly. And that's at this point is
probably the
major
largest.
The major hypothesis for how it's being spread.
So tell me, and I was fascinated with chytrid because it comes up a lot in conversation in the pet trade because it's also something that can affect the frogs that we actually carry in the store. Mm-hmm. What about Michigan and our frog populations? Tell us, you know, how are we doing? What kind of problems do we face? And, you know, what kind of frogs do we have out there and how are we doing?
So as far as chytrid in Michigan, it is here. It seems to be spread throughout Michigan. We're still learning a whole lot about that, so I'm not entirely sure as the completeness of the spread. But it certainly seems as though any of the sites that we have been sampling are coming up positive for chytrid. Now, our frogs are fortunate in that they're very hardy frogs, because they have to deal with a whole other gamut of stressors. Basically, the winters here are something that really make our frogs kind of very strong against stressors.
Sure.
So they have to deal with days like today where it's going to be near 90 in the summer, and then days in January where it's maybe zero.
Right.
So they have to deal with these stressors, so their immune system is very strong. So chytrid does not affect them as severely as it does for species in Central America. So for, I mean, those species, that, like the dart frogs, they've evolved in a spot where the
everything's perfect.
Right, everything's perfect.
Paradise.
The temperature change is greater between day and night than it is over the course of the year. So these guys, they're kind of weak as far as their immune system goes. So they're easily affected. But our frogs here are fortunately not as affected by chytrid, at least.
Just like people, Rick, if you endure Michigan weather, it makes you stronger. Thank you, J.P. Lawrence, for coming in. We've been talking with J.P. Lawrence, a member of the master's program in the Fisheries and Wildlife Department at MSU. And Rick, in our next segment, we're going to continue our conversation about Michigan wildlife right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm howling for you. All right. There's something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue. Me like